If you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 23. On Wednesday nights from now until Christmas time, we're going to be doing a series that I've entitled Great Deliverances. We're going to kind of culminate in the New Testament and the Gospel specifically with our Lord's deliverance from the hands of Herod, who sought to destroy him, and how God and His power and greatness delivered the Lord Jesus Christ from the hands of the king. And we're going to be looking through different scenarios that are given in the Old Testament and the New Testament whereby God delivered His people. God is faithful. And we certainly want to understand that our Lord loves us, He cares for us, and is deeply interested in His children. He doesn't leave us to ourselves. He cares for us. He's concerned about our needs. And so we're going to share some of these with you. And last time we began with David. As we said last time, for 11 years he ran from King Saul, who sought to kill him. Those 11 years were basically God's teaching tools to prepare David for his role as king. He had already been anointed, and he was had yet not taken that position. And for 11 years, he ran in the wilderness. He ran in the forest of Judea, in the wilderness areas, the rocks and the rills, hiding, learning the terrain, which one day would be helpful to know as he faced the Philistines and faced other peoples that he fought against. God was preparing him for his role as king. And last time we looked at how that God had delivered him in different circumstances from the hand of King Saul. But I want to talk about not just a deliverance from, in this case, Saul, but a deliverance to. God delivers to us things that help us to know that His hand is upon us, tokens of mercy. And God gave to David a very close friend. And that friend just happened to be the son of his nemesis, Jonathan. And we want to look at that tonight, and just in the few minutes that we have together, of how God raises up a friend in time of need, someone that was able to communicate with him, let him know when the king was after him, that the king had found out where he was at so that David would know that it was time to move along. God had put Jonathan in the place where he had a hearing with the king, his father, and his father didn't hold back anything. He told him, and by the matter of fact, we know from the passage before us that Jonathan had told him that his heart was knit with David. Remember, David was Saul's son-in-law. He had given his daughter Michal to David. He had since retracted that marriage and had offered her to another man, and she had left David and was married to another individual, much to her chagrin, because she deeply loved David. It was the great heartbreak of her life to be removed from David. But I want us to look at beginning at verse 14 of chapter 23 and just look at how God undertook for David and a deliverance to him. And David abode in the wilderness and strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. But notice this phrase. But God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went, now get this, and went to David. That's where I get the idea, a great deliverance to. He went up to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts tonight in these few minutes that we have together. I pray that we might recognize that not only do you deliver us from many things, but you deliver to us many things to encourage us. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, we might realize that the Word of God has been the greatest gift to us. The Word of God is given to us so we might learn more about Thee. We might see Your hand in other individuals' lives and past history and understand and know that You are close to us and near to us through the presence of Thy Holy Spirit who lives within us if we're believers. And so I pray, Father, that we might see this great deliverance to David as an encouragement to him, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verses 14 through 18, we see the encouragement that God gave David through Jonathan. Amid all the outward strife caused by his father-in-law Saul, David was given a gift. And that gift was the person of Jonathan. Now remember, please, that Jonathan was quite a few years older than David. Most Bible scholars believe that he was in his 50s. David was not quite even to his 30s yet. It was kind of a mentoring friendship. Jonathan knew that God had appointed him to be the next king. And yet, Jonathan reached out to David. He knew that God's hand was upon David, and he recognized the importance of his support to David. Even though he was Saul's son, even though he was commander of the forces of Israel, he knew and understood his role to support the godly king that God had appointed to be the next king over Israel. Now, here in this passage is laid out for us true friendship. The gift that God gave to David of a true friend. Now, I think you understand and know today that the world's concept of friendship is totally foreign to the Bible. Here is the world's friendship, how it works. All right? Do not tell me what I don't want to hear, but be a very good listener. Now, that's how friendship is today. Don't tell me what I don't want to hear. I'm not interested in that, but I want you to be a very good listener to me. What's friendship all about these days? Selfishness, all right? The whole concept of Facebook, Ray Teachout and I were talking at the hospital, and he was talking about his dismay with Facebook, and he said, it's such a fraud. He said, people befriend you, and they'll put a thumbs up for everything that you say, all right? It doesn't matter what you say, they'll stick a like by it, you know? And everybody has these visions of, oh, everybody likes what I'm saying, but it may not be true. It may just be, oh, I'll just give them a like and move on to the next thing. And there's not a reality to this friendship. There's not this closeness that comes. Well, I hope that you have someone closer than a Facebook friend. All right? Can I just be honest with you? I hope you have someone closer than a Facebook friend, because I want to tell you something. All it takes is an unfriending, and you're done with that close friend that you had on Facebook. You hear people, oh no, someone unfriended me. I wonder what happened. You know, well, it could be that they were just messing around with their computer and just clicked, you know, I'm done with you, and didn't even know what they did. How many of you have done something on your computer that you didn't realize you did? Okay, that happens all the time. You're typing along there, and all of a sudden, you find out that you're following 18 different companies. I've done that on LinkedIn. Now, where in the world did all these things come from? I had to go through and delete them all because I don't know how they got on my LinkedIn list. It was because my big thumbs trying to type something and I hit the wrong button or whatever. It happens all the time. And some people are moping around the next day. So-and-so unfriended me. And they may not even know that they did it, and you're walking around dragging because you lost a Facebook friend and you don't have a real friend in the world. You know, we had a young lady that came to the office, and she was moaning and groaning about she couldn't make any friends. And Mr. Watt and Mrs. Pepper dealt with her and said, listen, in order to have friends, you've got to be friendly. You know, it was just like the light came on. You've got to be friendly. Friends just don't come to you. It's like, you know, we were laughing the other day. We grew up with chinkapin bushes in our yard. And a chinkapin looks like a little tiny chestnut. It's got the real spiny cover around it. And we used to collect them during November, and we would roast them in the oven. My brother still loves them. I really didn't care for them all that much. But he found some chinkapins. And we were showing it to the kids. This is what a chinkapin looked like. And they were asking all kinds of questions because they'd never seen one. And we were looking at that and said, why does it have such a spiny covering? Well, God made a way for seeds to travel. All it takes is a dog coming by, lay down on one of those, sticks right to their coat. They go out. It begins to dry while it's hanging on to their kin, and then that opens up. Seed falls out on the ground, and you got another chinkapin bush growing. God knew what He was doing. You watch the little helicopters come out of the cones out here. These cones will open up on the big pine trees, longleaf pines, and then they'll start fluttering to the ground, and they go away from the tree. God invented helicopters before Sikorsky did. That shocked some kid. There was a helicopter. Yeah, God made one to carry those seeds out there. You think about a tumbleweed. A tumbleweed, when it dries and breaks off, it rolls and rolls. Where is it spreading while it rolls? All those seeds that are all in those pods all up through there, and they just spread all over. But God knew what He was doing whenever He did that. Now, my point is this. You and I need to understand something about friendship. Friendship, when we are in Jesus Christ, friendships are much deeper and more meaningful than friendships in the world. They're more meaningful because the Christian friend can be honest with another Christian friend. You realize that you can't be honest today with a lot of people? You know? How dare you say that to me? Well, I'm your friend. You know, a friend sticketh closer. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's what the Bible says. Sometimes we have to speak up and say, hey, you know that what you said the other day, that just didn't go right. There's something wrong with that statement. And instead of getting your feathers all in a ruffle and walk around pouting for 6 days, why don't you just listen to your friend? There may be some truth there. Especially if they're walking with the Lord. And if you want to walk right with the Lord, boy, I'll tell you, it's good. Iron sharpeneth iron. If nobody ever says anything to anybody, then everybody trudges on their way. That's Facebook friends. All right? Facebook friend type mentality. But if we are walking with the Lord, you need someone that'll come alongside you and be a friend to you that'll also be a help and not just be a yes person all the time. Sometimes you have to say no. Now, we were talking about growing up. That was my favorite word in our household. That was the only, we didn't even know that there was a word yes till we got out of high school and realized there was a three-letter word called yes, because all we heard was no. But you know, it's good. It's a good word. You got to get used to it. We need more no's being said to young people these days. Do you hear an amen? I've just about been run over in traffic by these kids that have just got their driver's license and mom and daddy went out there and bought them some expensive sports car. I just going up to the light today, I was cut off by two teenagers just flying through there. You know, they're going to be dead before too long. Why? Because nobody could say, no, you're not ready. You're not mature enough yet. I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait a few more years. And when you get a little bit better at driving and you don't scare the family half to death when we're going down the road, and we start getting a little comfortable where we can relax and actually fall asleep when your child's driving, that ain't happening right now. It's not going to happen. I got all four eyes going. Why? Because my kids are learning how to drive. And I don't want to die necessarily right now. You know, and so I have to slow down. Put on your blinker. Got to let the people know behind you. Oh, Dad, you got to let the person behind you know that you're going to turn right. They may think you're going to go straight. Or they may think that you're not going to do anything. You got to let them know. That's just what a good parent does, right, parents? You nod your head with me. But thank you. I need a friend. Oh, boy. Yeah, I can remember those days, and my kids are getting the same thing. All right? And they get lectured. Dad, you know, I just can't wait till I get my license, and you're not having to sit there. And I said, well, you're driving in my car. I'm going to be sitting beside you. Because, you know, we live in a world of nuts and crazies that have never heard the word no. And if you say no to them, look out. The whole world come crashing down on top of you because you said a two-letter word no to them. That's sad. But God gave David a friend. And this friend was very close. Three things very quickly. He strengthened David's hand in God. Have you done that for a friend lately? Let me ask you something. Have you strengthened a friend's hand in God? I'm not just talking about, you know, chumming around and having fun, that kind of. I'm talking about being a true friend. There are four things in this regard about strengthening his hand that Jonathan said to him to strengthen David's hand. Number one, he said, don't be afraid of my father. he will not find thee. Can you imagine that? Jonathan is telling David, I'm going to make sure that my dad doesn't find you. That's a pretty close friend. Number two, that's courage. Number two, thou shalt be king over Israel. God's plan will be finalized. Culmination of God's plan. That's what Jonathan said. Who by right of birth should have been the next king? Jonathan. But is Jonathan jealous?
It should be me. I don't understand. I'm the one that should be the king.
No. He got behind God's choice. He got behind God's choice. He said, thou shalt be king. God's plan will happen. You're not going to have to worry about me, David. I'm not going to get in your way. I'm not going to be sneaking behind your back and trying to get the people behind me while you're out here running for my father. Don't worry about that. I'm going to have your back. Number three, I will stand next to you. I will be there for you. That's commitment. That kind of a friend. And then fourthly, he says to him, I have not hid my love for you from my father. Jonathan wasn't sneaky about that. You know, I don't understand people that have to always be manipulating behind the scenes. They got something going. They got some private agenda that's always working behind the curtain that's going to come out to their good, but they don't want you to know about that because they're going to use you as their little pawn. Listen, Jonathan wasn't that way. Jonathan didn't want a thing from David. You know, that's the key to friendship. Are you listening to me? The key to friendship is not wanting something out of your friend. Because if that's the case, you don't know how to be a friend. You're just looking at it as a selfish opportunity. Hey, I got to look after number one. No, you don't. Let God look after you. You look after your friend. You take care of them. And Jonathan's letting him know, I'm going to stand with you. And I'm going to make sure that my father knows where I stand. I've already told him where I stand. I stand behind God's choice, Dad. Now, it grated him. He loved his son, and by the way, they died together, did they not? They died together. But Jonathan told his father where he stood when it came to David. That was God's choice. Number two, he made a covenant, a binding agreement. 2 Samuel chapter 21 tells us what this binding agreement was, that if either one of them died, if Jonathan died, David would take care of his family. If David died, Jonathan would make sure that the family was taken care of. Their friendship, they could exchange words, and it meant something. A covenant. And then thirdly, he was not jealous of David's advancement. This is probably the greatest statement about Jonathan's love for David. He was not jealous of David's advancement. Jonathan saw David's exaltation, but not his own death. How mercifully God veiled the future from Jonathan. Jonathan had no idea that he was going to die, and relatively soon. Had no idea. All he was concerned about was that God's will be done, and that David come to the throne. You can plan and cast the lot into the lap, so to speak, but the whole disposing of is of the Lord. Jonathan was content to be second, not first. That's a tough thing, to be content to be number two. To know by right of kings that you're the next one in line, and maybe you were told from the time you were born, you're going to be the prince and you're going to be the next king of Israel. Maybe his father had told him that. We don't know for sure. But maybe his father had told him that all those years growing up, you're going to be the next king. I'm preparing you to be the next king, next king, next king, over and over and over again. And Jonathan just stepped away from all of that and said, David, you're going to be the next king. Can you get behind somebody else and be satisfied whenever they get advanced and you don't? A true friend can. Because a true friend is only concerned about the welfare of the other person, not themselves. That's the kind of love we need in churches across America. And it's sad to report, but in most cases, that's not there. It's all about stepping all over each other to get to the next position, the next level. And that ought not to be the case of God's people. And so not only was there a great deliverance of David, there was a great deliverance to David in the person of Jonathan. And so I don't want you to miss that in our story of David right here. This was the beginning of 11 years of great struggle for David. It wasn't going to be easy. He didn't have a house to go to for 11 years. He had to live out in the caves and in the rocks and in the woods. That was his life for 11 years. But God uniquely prepared him to be the next king. And God wants to prepare us too. He wants to prepare our young people in here. They're going to have tough times ahead of them. We're going through tough times right now. You think it's bad now? It's going to be worse in the near future. This next decade is going to be very telling for the United States of America. And we need to pray for our young people, that they'll have some backbone and some character to stand up. Some of us are getting older. And our years on this earth aren't as many anymore. They're kind of behind us now. And now it's these young people right here. And I hope we're pouring into every one of them God's grace and God's Word. That's what they need. They don't need more things. They don't need more technology. They need more of this Word poured into them. And God's put us older folks here to do that. That's our job. And so that's the greatest way, that's the greatest deliverance we could give to our young people, is to give to them the gift of God's Word. And so I want to encourage you in that regard tonight. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the testimony that's given to us of this friendship between David and Jonathan. We've just quickly gone over it. But what a friendship it was. It wasn't like the friendships of the day based on selfishness and what I can get out of this relationship, but rather, it was a complete and total concern for the other person, willing to sacrifice, do whatever it took, to make sure that the good of the other individual was taken care of. And Father, I pray that You would help us to realize this wonderful gift that was given to them and also has been given to us. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And it's Your dear Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray, dear Lord, that You would work in our hearts. Stir us up, Father, to be the right kind of friends. And may we realize that You raise up gifts of individuals to be near and to be helpful. And I pray that we would be the right kind of friends, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Good night.